Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Atlanta, what's going on? It is Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
Hey, man.
Yeah, that's kind of a long, drawn-out one. Hey, man, hope you're having a good day. We got a lot to talk about, Mike. More dogs coming back to Athens, which is always great news. As a matter of fact, today is Wednesday, and a lot of these kids that they recruited are on campus as class starts today. So we get word that Zamir White is headed back to Athens. All these guys are weighing their options, but you've been talking about it all week, you know, even last week, about all these guys coming back to Georgia.
Yeah, man, we got some studs on defense. The running game, as we said, everything, knock wood, is pretty much set. So I know that 6 o'clock hour, we really kind of got into it. And it's funny, Carl, he made me. He snapped. He goaded me. You got me. You know, I was like, you're giving Kirby a pass? I'm like, yeah, I give Kirby a pass. And I'm like, there is no pass for this last year. And then the idea was, how far away is Georgia to where we just saw Alabama, which obviously is, you know, the mountaintop. It's like, you know, freaking Mount Everest. So, yeah, brother, I'm with you. I mean, more good news. So all signs point to, you know, the band is back together for a run in 21.
The band is back in. I think the expectations were going to be high anyway, regardless of how many guys decided to come back. But I think the more guys do decide to come back, and you have a foundation to build from offensively with eight or nine guys on that side of the ball, seven or so on the defensive side, I think, regardless, I think it gives you a better chance to start the season the way you want, Mike. You know, we always say this. Alabama loses a bunch of guys every year, and I'm using them as an example, but Clemson, pick your school, to the NFL, right? The top programs always do, but there's very little fall off as the season rolls back around because they reload. But I will tell you, the teams that do have an advantage is when you have experience coming back, and the Dogs are going to have that under Kirby, you know, just like he did in 17 when they went to the national championship game. Same kind of thing played out, guys. Remember Sony Michel, Nick Chubb, yeah, we're coming back. And this is what got them catapulted to a national championship. Let's hope that's the case next season.
I'm with you. And I know that we've said with Kirby, oh, you guys know the rap. Everything's there. Everything is there but the, you know, the natty. Everything is there but the, you know, the cherry on top of the sundae. You know, we break Seth Emerson's ball sometimes, but wasn't that book a bit premature? But the book that he wrote with Kirby, usually you wait till you get the championship. But, you know, Kirby is changing the culture, but then, you know, when you slip like last season, that's a slip. I mean, it's still a nice bowl win, and I'm excited they were able to grind it out against Cincinnati. That was a tough game. You don't want to get back to where you're in Rick territory, you know, where people are making excuses all the time.
So lots to get to today. The irony of one of our guests today, if you've listened to this show since Mike and I have been together, is that Mike Smith was a guy that we made a lot of fun of on this program. He's our former Falcon football coach. Obviously, Dan Quinn took his spot, and now we're looking for a new coach. And Mike Smith is the winningest Falcon football coach, and he's going to join us in the 6 o'clock hour. But, you know, we would always kind of make fun because Smitty had these phrases. One of them was unscouted looks, right? He'd always talk about, you know, the things that they didn't get a chance to see during the week or maybe on film that happened in a game. But overall, a really good guy. And I think, Mike, the last time we saw Mike Smith was the Super Bowl here, right, in Atlanta?
Yeah, I ran into him, and we talked to him. Actually, we had a couple chances to speak with Mike there during those commercial breaks, and he had grown the beard out a little bit, and I was joking around. I said, man, we can get you down to Sloppy Joe's in Key West. You can win the Ernest Hemingway lookalike contest. He started laughing. And Smitty, you know, hey, well, how much does that pay? I go, I think it's a grand. His eyes kind of wide. But he is such a good dude, and as we said, I mean, like Dan, look, Dan – I got, like fans, like everything else, when you're not winning, there is some degree of fatigue, Carl, to the slogans and some of the coach speak. But Smitty, you know, again, these are good guys. I mean, even Mora, I mean, Jim Mora rubs some guys the wrong way. Mora, you can have a beer with Mora, and Mora will give you a lot of good stuff off the record. But the only guy, Carl, that I can remember since I've been covering the Falcons, it was a complete blank hole, was Bobby Petrino. Yeah. That was the only guy that was really, you knew there was just, everything was, there was no genuine, there was no, nothing was genuine about him. Everything was calculated. And at least with Quinn, like, even this, how tough was it this year? He came on the air, answered the questions, and, you know, they're not bad guys. They just didn't get the job done.
Yeah. And, you know, again, if you want him unhinged, which a lot of people did. You know, they wanted both. They wanted Raheem to be unhinged. You know, we're losing, and I don't like it. You know, they wanted him to go in. But DQ was never that guy. And I do know this. When you're in professional sports, and it doesn't matter what sport, you have to stay even keel. Because if you don't, it's too far one way or the other, and your team starts to go that way. And so from a head coaching perspective, I understand it. But it didn't make our jobs any more fun to have, you know, the losing that we did over the last 3 years specifically, because it's not just about this year. I mean, this started 3 years ago when we were, you know, 1-4 and we're going, coach, we're better than this. Oh, I know we are. And then you go 1-7 and you go, what the hell's going on? You're running the defense. Oh, I know I am. So you're right, Mike. Good guys, but we'll talk to Mike Smith coming up. More on the Dogs with Connor Riley coming up at 4 o'clock from Dog Nation as we'll get his take on the guys that are coming back and what it means for Kirby. And, you know, by the way, you talk about guys that are reporting early, 16 early enrolling at UGA this today. As a matter of fact, his class starts. 4 of those guys are 5 stars. So it gives them a heads up moving forward as far as maybe being somebody that can contribute to this team. Just because you're a 5-star doesn't mean you're starting, but it does give you maybe some extra leverage getting your feet wet. 404-741-0929. It is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Mike Bell, let's talk about these finalists, man, because we know Rick Smith's in the hunt. Rams Director of College Football Scouting, Brad Holmes, is in the hunt. And then the Saints VP and Assistant General Manager, Terry Fontenot. One of these guys is going to get our job. And I say ours as in the general manager. And can one of these guys draft correctly, make the right free agent moves to turn our football team around? And I say fairly quickly. Some people are going to be more patient than others. But one of these guys is going to get that opportunity. And you know, we keep talking about when this is going to happen. Guys, we don't know when the date. The Falcons haven't called Mike and I and said, hey, we're going to hire this guy at 9 a.m. on next Tuesday.
Right.
It's going to happen fairly soon. And, Mike, I do believe it will happen before they hire a head coach.
And, again, I was going round and round with listeners today. It was funny. I was at the gym today. I want to give a shout-out to Derek. He's a loyal listener. Father and son. His son plays football for Northgate.
What up, D?
His son plays football for Northgate. But, yeah, man, he was saying, what do you think? And I said, brother, honestly, I've never been – and I joked around on Twitter, I'm confused. You could make the case for everybody, and then you could make the case against everybody. Is that fair to say? You could say that Brady, if you look at a guy like McVay, the thing is Sean McVay had 6 years in the NFL before he became head coach. Where if they go with Joe Brady, Carl, he's just 4.5 years removed from being a grad assistant in college. So, I mean, look, there's nobody's got the market cornered, you know, as far as football logic. We've seen younger guys do it. But even like, you know, you think about the wonder kids, Carl, in football history. Dick Vermeil, at least, but he had been a head coach in college.
You're right.
You know what I mean? There's guys, and Matt Rhule, he's been a head coach at Baylor. You know what I mean? He had experience 1 year in the NFL. And these guys, you've seen it. You know, like Van Gorder, that some Georgia Southern fans still get mad about. Guys, they dip their toe in the college and pros to get all that experience, and that's kind of how you build your resume. I mean, I don't know. Is the Fritz Pollard Alliance going to go lose their mind if a guy like Bieniemy doesn't get the job? And I still don't know what Bieniemy is doing wrong.
Any job or our job?
Any job.
I think that's a problem. A problem.
I really like Bieniemy, but everybody now looks at Bieniemy like he's a marionette, like he's sitting on Andy Reid's knee. I'm like, well, Joe, I mean, look, Doug Peterson, yes, it was a strange, bizarre ending, but the guy still won a Super Bowl, and that's all I freaking want. And he did the same job description that Bieniemy did when he was with Andy Reid. That's fine by me.
Yeah, yeah. And again, I still say you pick up the phone. Everybody thinks he's going to the Jets. You know, everybody wants to make these connections, and I know it's easy to do that. Just because guys know each other doesn't mean that they end up working for each other or for somebody that they know. And he's got a connection to the Jets organization. I'd still pick up the phone and call Doug Peterson. But you're absolutely right when you talk about the pros and cons. And I always say this, you know, if you've had to weigh job options in your life, and I've been fortunate to do this, you know, you draw that line down the middle of the sheet of paper and you go pros and cons. And a lot of times there are more cons than pros. But then you start looking and you go, Yeah, but the overall situation, is it better than where I currently am? What am I going to gain from this? And I think for the Falcons, and I'm talking about our organization making this hire, do we get better? And this is the question, I don't know if anybody knows, Mike, by hiring a guy like Joe Brady where there really isn't a big enough sample space. There just isn't. I mean, to tell me he was the passing game coordinator at LSU and they won a national championship, okay, I hear that. I understand it. Then how do you weigh this season as a first-time OC and you go, well, his best player was out? Okay, so that offense wasn't that much better than ours overall.
Right.
Well, what are we getting in Joe Brady? Now, if you're telling me he's this innovative, groundbreaking offensive coordinator that's doing stuff that nobody's seen, okay, that's a different conversation. But nobody's had that conversation about Joe Brady. And I'm not saying he won't get the job, but there are pros and cons. And the Bieniemy thing, Mike, you asked the question, if he does not get a job, I think that's a problem. I don't know if he gets our job. If he does not get a job after 2 years in a row being allegedly the top coordinator in the NFL, his team winning a Super Bowl, him being a part of a team winning a Super Bowl, him calling the plays of a team that's won a Super Bowl, and, oh, by the way, has the MVP, and he doesn't get a job, I don't know what's going on there.
Well, again, I like Bieniemy. I like Rick Smith. That's how I would roll with it. Fontenot, and, he seems to be getting a lot of juice now. All the stories, guys are reading the same stuff we're reading. You're hearing about Fontenot from the Saints. And I don't know if Fontenot and Brady are besties. Brady was only there a short period of time. But I don't know. I mean, I talked about this with a listener today on Twitter. I mean, Joe Burrow. What about Joe Burrow's last year? I go, yeah, Joe Burrow made Joe Burrow better. Joe Burrow was balling out with the Bengals with nobody in front of him before the knee got taken out. So, I mean, you look at a guy like Arthur Smith, you got Derrick Henry. You know, some would say, well, you say to Derrick, because you got such an amazing running back, that helps to get Ryan Tannehill sort of rejuvenated.
Yes.
So, I mean, you could make the argument pro and con. Well, this guy's got that guy. Well, this guy, what's the NFL? Every team's got stars on it. So this is why, and I said on Twitter today, I'm not being a wise ass. I'm so confused. I have no idea where they're going to go. And personally, if I can't get Bieniemy, you guys got to sell me on some of these other guys.
Fair. I think it is. Follow us, guys. Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes, the radio show. Dukes and Bell, 929. And, of course, follow this radio station at 929 The Game. We're on the gram. It's all for the gram. Dukes and Bell, 929. We're on Twitch Live as we speak. You can go there and interact with us multiple ways to find us and get involved in the conversation. I'll say this about Brad Holmes, and I'm going to talk more about this coming up. He is a finalist. I know many of you don't know a lot about him. He's with the Rams. He's been involved and in charge of their last 8 drafts. I'm just going to name a few guys, okay? They're in the playoffs as we speak. Aaron Donald, his. Todd Gurley, don't laugh. I'm not talking about the Gurley we saw. The Gurley that led the league and should have been an MVP. Gurley in 15. Jared Goff, their quarterback. Tyler Higbee, their tight end, 4th-round pick. Cooper Kupp, okay, that was 17. Josh Reynolds, who's their wide receiver right now. On the defensive side, both safeties he drafted in separate years. Their linebacking core, he drafted. Here's the point. Oh, don't forget Cam Akers, who just ran for 100 and some odd yards and helped them beat Seattle. Last year's 1st-round pick. I want somebody, Mike.
2nd-round pick, Cam Akers, yeah.
Who I can look at and say he knows how to build a team.
All right.
I want.
I'm with you. I'll go with a guy who stepped out of the game because his wife was dealing with cancer. It wasn't like he got run out of football. Maybe if he's still there, things are different in Houston. A guy that drafted J.J. Watt and Deshaun Watson and D-Hop and a great offensive and defensive line. That's what I want.
All right. I got to question you on the O-line because I was there. And I love Rick, but the O-line has never been great. And they tried to make some adjustments. We'll talk about it. But these are the pros and cons of all of these guys. Some people say, well, he's only done the scouting thing. He's not a real GM. How is he going to take on this job, this Brad Holmes guy? 404-741-0929. We want your thoughts. Do you have a favorite? We know there are 3 finalists. One of them is going to get the job. We're coming back. It's Dukes and Bell. It's Dukes and Bell. We're talking about our Falcons general manager hire, soon to be, we hope. We're not sure who's going to get this job, when it's going to happen. I think by the end of this week we'll know more, but we'll see. Guys are hitting us up, Mike, talking about all 3 of these candidates. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at John's text here, or tweet, should I say. And John says, when you look at the Saints, because I think I don't think you can go wrong with any of the, one of the three of these candidates. Right. I don't necessarily like one more than the other. We can nitpick and talk about certain things and things that general managers do or don't do. I've said this even when Thomas was here. None of these guys hit 100. None of them bat 1,000, okay? So with that said, I don't think you can go wrong with a guy like Brad Holmes, who's helped build the Rams to a playoff contender. Fontenot with the Saints, and this is John's tweet. He says, Dukes, look at what the Saints have done besides Davenport. They've drafted well. They've added the right free agents. He's helped create a winning team there. And I agree. I mean, that's kind of what you're looking for, right? And then you talked about, you know, with Rick Smith, for all that it's worth, for his tenure there, he turned a franchise around that wasn't doing anything to being a perennial division winner and then playoff contender, even though they were never able to get over the hump. So they all come with the credentials that you want as a general manager.
I mean, you can make, as I said, the case for every guy, and you can shoot it. I mean, you can shoot objections at it. You know, you just mentioned their offensive line. I should say, I guess I should qualify that as defensive line, because they always had such a great pass rush. And obviously, J.J. Watt's a guy that, you know, everybody knows his reputation. You know, Arian Foster was a running back then. I'm trying to think. I think they had a couple. Did they not have any Pro Bowl linemen as far as offensive linemen?
No, they did, but they traded him. Okay. His name was Dwayne Brown.
With
the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah.
D was there, and D was one of the best tackles, and still is, I think, one of the best tackles in the game. But, yeah, they ended up trading him. Outside of that, and I'm just thinking off the top of my head, they brought in a guy named Chris Myers, who was a center. I don't know if you guys remember him or not. And he was probably the best pickup addition to the offensive line. They had a guy when they first started named Chester Pitts, who's out of football now, obviously, and Chester and I still talk. He was one of the rocks, solid foundation guys that they hoped to build around, but they never really got the other pieces around him. So I'm just saying, generally speaking, for a decade or more, this was not a great offensive line. But I agree with you, defensively, he has drafted well.
And we're talking about Rick Smith for guys that are just tuning in. And Carl worked in Houston. That's why he knows that the Texans upside and, you know, backside and front side. Look, I want to get pass rush.
Yeah.
I want to get, like, the running backs. We could have gotten Cam Akers. That's why, you know, I was so frustrated last offseason, because I didn't believe Todd Gurley could stay healthy. I was excited about Todd Gurley. We said, how are we going to be able to manage Todd Gurley? And in the end, it was a tough situation. It was almost untenable, Carl, because you had literally had to – he was so – you know, I mean, let's be honest. He was so delicate with the condition with the knee, which he always downplays. Yeah. That's why I called him a Fabergé egg. And I love Todd Gurley, but we got Todd Gurley at the wrong time. I mean, to get off to the start, he did 9 touchdowns. I'm like, holy cow, look at this. And then it stopped. And I mean, as much as we kill, you know, Dirk Cutter, it's because that you had a finite amount of touches he was going to only be able to use, and that's what happened. So get me a big running back. Get me a guy that can carry the load, whether you saw him, Carl, play in the national championship game the other night. That's one thing we got to do. That's something almost any general manager, I think, can do, right? The hard part is the trenches, and that's, you just illustrated even with Rick Smith. The trenches were Dimitrov's Achilles heel.
Yeah, I mean, trenches cut David Carr's career short because they couldn't get it right there. That wasn't Rick Smith, but then Smith comes in, and then, you know, you could even ask Matt Schaub, who just retired, who was there. Even when they were winning, that wasn't an offensive line that people were clamoring for. They had a few pieces, a couple of fill-in guys that did okay, and you talked about it. Arian Foster was a fine. So you can put teams together, and I've always said this, you're not going to be great at every position. We do, and this is where I do agree with Mike, we do need upgrades in some of these areas that we're talking about, because we're just not talented enough. We're just haven't
been good. Make plays, whether it's that running back or line.
And again, that's Todd Gurley near the end of the season when his spirit was broken, as has happened to many free agents when they come to Atlanta.
So it's something we're talking about today, and certainly we'll be continuing to talk about. I have more reservations, just personally, about the head coaching selection than I do the general manager selection, because I think all these guys are capable. And I mean, honestly, if you're going to call the show Monday and be like, Dukes and Bell, I can't believe they hired this guy, I don't know what you're going to be mad about. I really don't. I don't know. When it comes to the general manager's position, I don't know what you're going to be upset about. You're going to tell me that Brad Holmes, or he's never won a Super Bowl. Personnel guys are different. You're looking for builders. You're looking for guys who get it and know how to maneuver and bring in the right people to build a team. I don't even know, Mike, how anybody could be upset if you choose one of these guys, even if you don't think they're the right guy.
Yeah, I mean, that's why, as I said, it wasn't a great class of coaches a couple of years back when we got Dan. It wasn't a very deep class. You and I talked about that. I mean, Rex Ryan I wanted no part of. Todd Bowles I was interested in, and Todd, nothing happened for him in the Jets. Like many other coaches have gone to New York. So, I mean, Bieniemy, it's amazing how guys just immediately say Bieniemy and they're like, oh, he doesn't do anything. That's not the case. I mean, we had the writer who covers the Chiefs for ESPN on. He talked about what he does, how Doug Peterson did the same thing, how Matt Nagy did the same thing. It's a collaborative effort. So he's a silent partner on that Chiefs sideline. You know, so I don't know what the story is. I don't know if he comes in the interview. And as I said, I don't know. You know, a lot of people, Carl, it's almost like a dog whistle. When somebody says they don't interview well, it's a black guy. You know what I mean? I don't know. I'm not trying to be a wise ass. I just don't know what this guy isn't doing. I'd love to be a fly on the wall to hear how it goes. I don't know. Is it about staff? Because he's been in the NFL for 15 years. He's got to know some guys. He's put together a staff. Yeah. Or is that a red flag? I don't know. Nobody knows. Yeah. All you hear is hearsay and rumors.
Well, and here's the other part, too. Remember, Chiefs still in the playoffs. He can't take a job until they're out the playoffs. That could be 1, 2, 3 more weeks. I mean, they could easily end up in the Super Bowl, and we're still sitting here going, why isn't anybody hired Eric Bieniemy? Because he can't take a job. It's NFL rules. Mm-hmm. So that's one part of this.
But that would leak out.
Maybe. Dan Quinn didn't. I mean, we didn't know that we didn't know about that until the end. I mean, it was like, what's going on here? So I just think that Bieniemy will get a job. Again, I don't know if it's our job. I don't know if it's going to be the Falcon job. And if it's our job, great, because I do think he brings some things that we need. I am more prone to hire an offensive coordinator. We've been talking about this too. You know, some guys are like, I don't care. I think that our offensive woes outweigh some of the other issues that I think you can fix with scheme and a few fixes on the defense. We don't score enough. And why? With what we've got. I mean, forget about adding something. Mm-hmm. Why doesn't the guys that we have, Julio, Hayden Hurst, Calvin Ridley, I mean, why don't we score more points? And I think that's something that whoever gets the job, Mike, has got to come in here and analyze and go, okay, we got to find better ways to be more creative to get in the end zone. And again, that's not to say the offensive line is not an issue either.
Right. And I know that, if I'm Arthur Blank, that's one of the questions. I mean, like, these interviews are going on for hours, according to what we're hearing. Yeah, it's one of the things. How do I get Matt Ryan and Julio to create more touchdowns? How do we get the red zone from being the dead zone? Because two things. We don't get after the quarterback. We don't score enough touchdowns. I mean, that's it. That's why my beef about Matt and Julio goes on and on and on. And guys, they roll their eyes when I mention Matt and Julio. When you spend that money, when you have that investment, you've got to get return on that investment. And we just don't. Then that's – again, I said it, Carl. Now somebody in his car is going, Mike just said Ryan sucks. No, I didn't say that. I say him and Julio have got to make touchdowns, okay? And I love it. I'm reading on our Twitch comments. Peterson and Nagy aren't very good. Peterson was good when Frank Reich was his OC. So again, everybody is now Gene Chizik, and everybody's OC now is Gus Malzahn in the NFL. I mean, Peterson, the Eagles had never, ever, ever, ever won a Super Bowl.
Done nothing.
And the last time they won a championship, it was 1960. The Super Bowl didn't even exist. This guy did that, okay? However he got there, to hook or crook, just like if we had won it, Dan Quinn was still the architect. We can all say Shanahan was the power behind the throne. But, I mean, there's still a market for Peterson. I have no idea what the hell he was doing against Washington in that final game of the season, but that's all you guys are thinking about now, as opposed to a guy who took the Eagles and won a freaking Super Bowl.
Yeah, and for me, you know, Jeffrey Lurie, who's the owner, he just basically wanted him to bend the knee. That was it. I want this. This is what I want.
Here's the coaching staff I want you to go hire, because you guys ain't cutting it anymore. That was the beef.
I love the fact that Peterson's like, no, if I'm going to be here, I got to do it my way. There's something to be said about having balls. I love this. Hey. And that's why I want to talk to him, Mike.
Right.
That's why I want to see where his head is. You want to coach again immediately? If you do, let's have a conversation. And what would you do here? Because I think he can get the job done. I don't understand the pushback either with Peterson.
And the other thing with Peterson, he's been a head coach.
Yes.
Okay, Mike Smith had not been a head coach. Petrino had been a head coach in college, but Jim Moore had not been a head coach. Dan Quinn had not been a head coach. So that's one thing, and a couple guys have brought that up today on our Salmon Brothers Diamond text line. Guys are saying, like, maybe we should hire somebody who's actually been there and done that.
Yeah, that's why I have a little bit more reservation about the coaching spot. I mean, you're going to roll the dice either way you go,
right?
But I just prefer experience. I just do, you know. And if you're an inexperienced coach, then that means you're going to go hire a bunch of guys who do have experience and put them around you so you can pick up on all these different things that you need to know. If you're an experienced coach, then you just have an idea of where you want to go, you know? And I'll use this example, and you know, this doesn't apply to everybody, but all my friends that have remarried, it's better.
Shh, don't say that.
I'm serious.
If girlfriends get upset when you say that.
The first time it didn't work, right? And again, that's why it doesn't apply to everybody. But the second time, you knew what you wanted. Second time, you knew exactly what you were looking for. And if that individual didn't have those characteristics, you were out. Second time, no clowning around. You didn't put up with the BS that you did the first time. There's something to be said about a coach who does it and knows where he wants to go. And I think that's why I always prefer experience over, and people go, well, then how do you get experience? Well, that's not to say you don't get a shot. But I'm willing to tell you, ask Belichick. Second time around, much better.
So we've got we cast a wide net. We've got a really wide range of guys, some dudes that are just got literally a few years, 1 year in the NFL, to guys that have got a decade or more in the NFL. I know this. No two Falcon fans can agree on who the head coach should be for this next season.
All right, man. We got plenty more to get to. Our Hawks, their game has been postponed tonight. But there is other NBA news that's hitting as we speak, including what's going on with James Harden and Kyrie. This is a mess. We'll explain next. It is Dukes and Bell. Hope you're having a great day on this Wednesday. Coming up, we'll talk about these games that are going to happen in the NFL this weekend as part of our NFL Blitz. Also, moves being made. Seattle firing, or at least different philosophies, according to sources in Seattle. Moving on from Brian Schottenheimer, and we'll talk about Urban Meyer, who apparently is close to taking a job in the NFL. Let's talk NBA for a sec, Mike. Hawks will not play tonight. Game's been postponed. You guys know why. COVID and the testing protocols, tracing, blah, 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 right? And I say that with all due respect. It's just affecting sports, and it has, and it will continue until we're able to get past this. But a few months ago, when Daryl Morey got the vice president's job with the 76ers, there was a rumor about him wanting to trade for James Harden, and Ben Simmons got word of it and, you know, put one of those emojis out there. And then Daryl Morey retweeted Ben Simmons' emoji, which was, you know, don't believe this crap. Well, it looks like the 76ers and the Houston Rockets are going to make a deal, and it's looming. It may already be done. Harden was kept away from practice today, as their general manager and coach said, we're going to keep him away. It's best for the group until we find a trading partner. Well, it looks like that's going to happen, Mike, and the word on the street is that Harden's going to be traded there for Ben Simmons, ironically, and Tyrese Maxey, along maybe some picks to make this thing work. So he's going to get his way, and the beard's going to end up probably with the 76ers.
Yeah, all the guys from the Thunder are all in their early 30s now, and you begin to wonder, are they ever going to get a championship? And I don't see that happening in Philadelphia with Harden, to be quite honest with you. And I think Harden's going to have a hard time in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
It's a tough town. We know it's a tough town. You know, we just talked around about Peterson getting blown out 3 years after bringing him a Super Bowl. It's going to be interesting. Look, you and I have talked about it. Harden, an amazing scorer. He'll go in the Hall of Fame someday, but it's just, his game is not complete. You know, it's not. You know, and you wonder yes, it's gotten to the point where they've got to do something in Houston. Take the best deal you can. He's got all the leverage, right?
He does.
I mean, is the best deal they could make. Ben Simmons to me is like not a complete player either, because you have to be able to shoot the ball from outside 10 feet. You know, I don't know. It does drive me crazy, you know, the NBA that you and I grew up watching and what passes as all-stars and stars. But anyway, this is the best deal that they could get, so they got to pull the trigger.
All right, so we're keeping an eye on that. And then Kyrie. I mean, you brought this up yesterday. I think we talked a little bit about it in Guy Talk. He's still not available. Doesn't look like he's going to play this week for Brooklyn. And for those who haven't followed this story, Mike, the NBA is, I guess they're still investigating as to whether or not he was at this party. And, you know, the NBA requires all their players not to be in gatherings of more than 15 people or more. And if you are, you better be masked up, have a mask. And then if this information gets out, which it has, it could cost you a lot of money. So I think they're still investigating that. But is there more to this whole Kyrie thing?
Yeah, at first there was thoughts that he was upset with the images from what happened on Capitol Hill, and there were some comments made. You know, as we said, if that was, you know, a bunch of black protesters, what would the perception be from the? I don't know. That was where it started, and then now nobody knows what's going on between his ears. The people want to get high and mighty about the mask thing. I get it. Like, it's one thing if it's the off season. It seems ridiculous now if it's a family gathering. I don't know how many. To your point, how many friends were there? But now because they don't have a bubble, you've got to do things by the letter. I mean, it's just the way it is, you know. So send your sister a nice gift, take her out to lunch, but you can't be at the event. I mean, I hate this stuff too, but it's the way it's going, man. So you're jeopardizing teams. We just talked about it. I mean, it's funny you mentioned Phoenix. I'm like, oh wow, man, the Hawks go out and no Bird Dog Chicks and Scott's. Oh, can't do that. So as far as, which is a great entertainment district. So yeah, but this is, I mean, the guy's a little cuckoo. Can we say that? Can we? Yes. Is that not politically correct? I mean, Kyrie's a little bit on the margins. He's on the spectrum of wacky. Okay, so not sure where this is going. Good news is Durant lit it up against the Nuggets. If you didn't see the highlights against for the Nets, but this is now a thing. All right. And now it's going to cost you big money.
Would you trade Kyrie for Harden?
Oh, and then Durant and Harden going to be besties again. What could possibly, with the New York media to pump the fire up, man. Good luck with that. I mean, I don't know.
With
man.
this drama, which may or may not change. We don't know. I mean, these guys, Kyrie's been there 10 minutes. All right. This is not like he's been there and won and they haven't done anything. I mean, this is supposed to be the coming out party of Kyrie and KD.
Right.
And the Nets, you know, owning the East. And this has been nothing but drama. So if you're the Nets now, you go, you know what? It's not going to be worth the trouble. We love the idea at first, but we might as well go get another guy who can fill it up like Kyrie. That guy is James Harden. I only put it out there because this could change the Nets' mind.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, Kyrie is, you know, like LeBron gave him the love eventually about how he was instrumental in getting them the championship and they battled back from being down against the Warriors. But he's a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Okay. If you know, in this politically correct world we live in, if you can't say he's nuts, at the mere minimum, Carl, he's just a giant pain. He's a colossal pain in the ass. So I don't know. I mean, Harden is be funny. It's like, you know, today we traded one pain in the ass for another pain in the ass.
Right.
Both of these guys average over 30. It's bizarro world. And who is going to rise up in the East? I mean, and there's no way to make the cap numbers work to put any of these guys in Milwaukee and give Giannis what he needs.
That's true.
You know, to get him where he can actually compete with somebody named either LeBron or the Warriors out West in the finals.
Chris, can we hear Steve Nash? This is the coach of the Brooklyn Nets talking about the latest with Kyrie. I saw a funny meme out there. There's a bunch of them. But it's a picture of Rick Ross, who does kind of look like James Harden, sitting on a leather couch.
Well, when James got back in the game, he needed a Stairmaster, let's be honest, okay?
And they said, James Harden waiting to see where he's going to be traded. I'm like, no, that's Ricky Ross. Let's hear from Steve Nash.
There's been communication, but I think that's all in-house. So we keep that to ourselves, and we try to figure out, our home front privately.
Okay, so all you can do, all you can say as a coach, like, what can he say?
Mean.
What the hell? They're not paying me enough. I just signed up my first coaching job. Nobody knew why I was going to get this job. I don't know if Nash has got a degree in psychology, because that might be required here.
This is what Harden said last night. It's Tukes and Bell, if you're just joining us. One of the premier stars in the NBA is pretty much forcing his hand. Mm-hmm. Wasn't at practice today. This was last night. This is what he said, and this is why I think we're here.
We're just not good enough. You know, we don't obviously chemistry, talent-wise, just everything. And it was clear, like I said, these last few games. And just from the beginning of the game, it was just aggressive. Veteran team, obviously, championship team, and, one of the best teams that we have in this league. I love this city. I literally, done everything that I can.
And then got up and left.
Yeah, it has come to a head. You knew, like, we all knew he was not going to be on the Rockets this year. It's funny, though, because if you want to, like, really make the case for the Sixers, wow, what would be a really potent combination? Ben Simmons driving and dishing to James Harden.
Yeah.
But you won't get that because they're going to go like this. You know, one's going to H-Town. And like, Simmons, as far as, you know, getting to the basket, I get all that. To me, though, I mean, it's funny, whenever you read the scoring sheet, it's like three-pointers, 0-4. He has never taken a three-point shot. It's like, How in this NBA, how are you a point guard and you've never taken a 3-point shot? It blows my mind, you know, the hype around the guy. But like, I get it. He gets the basket. He can get other guys involved. And it'll be great. But again, he's not going to be on this team, which means a team right now with a guy like, you got two real leaders, Carl, James Harden and Joel Embiid, two profiles and character right now to be running the Sixers.
And that's why I said it's a mess. Now, let's be clear. We have no interest, and I'm talking about our Hawks, zero. I know there's somebody right now going, wait a minute, Dukes and Bell, man, we could use a guy like Harden. No interest. I think he disrupts everything you're attempting to build right now. We're not a championship team right now, okay? I love watching our Hawks. We're just not there, and we will be, hopefully, in a few years. We're just not. I don't make a Harden deal unless I'm close. And the deal with the Nets is, listen, they're trying to be what the Knicks are, right? So for them, it's worth the risk to go do this now that you've added KD, but you're going to have to give up Kyrie. Kind of a poet there. And then with the Sixers, they just haven't been able to get over the hump of trust the process. You've got all these guys. We've trusted the process, and you guys keep getting beat in the first and second round. So it's worth the risk. For us, Mike, no interest. If somebody said to me right now, I'll give you James Harden, I would not take him on this team because I think he's disruptive.
Well, I would try to get John Collins moved because he's not going to be here anymore. I don't think Collins is going to be with the
Hawks.
You
don't think he gets a deal with us?
I don't think he's going to get a deal. I think there's some bad feelings here. I think they've downplayed. I mean, just my intuition. I've got nothing to base this on, just my gut. But if there was something involved where I could get something for Collins, I would. I think we're going to have this conversation in a couple of months. Now, actually, shorter than you expect because the way the season rolls, that we're going to be looking to trade Collins at the trade deadline.
Okay. Well,
I hope I'm wrong, but I just have a feeling that's where it's headed.
Well, and Mike, I'll say this to your point. It's Dukes and Bell, guys. Find us on social media, Mike Bell ATL. Put them up, see Dukes. We're on Twitch as well. Follow us on the gram, Dukes and Bell 929. I just hope we don't let him walk for nothing. I hope we don't get through the season.
He becomes Al Horford.
A restricted free agent, which means we can match any offer. And then he gets an offer and we go, and then he walks and we get nothing. I would rather trade him at the trade deadline, knowing if that's what's going to happen at the end of the season. You know, you can't tell me, well, they didn't know they weren't going to, you know, match a deal or pay him. They know. Mike's right. They know where they are going with this. They've got a number. His people have a number. That number's not close, which is why we're not, you know, they don't have a deal.
Right.
And then moving forward, that number, depending on John's performance this year, may go up a little bit. And some team, just like what Bogdanovich, is going to say, yeah, we want him. We'll have a chance to match. But if he leaves and we don't match it, we get nothing for a guy that you drafted and helped develop. That cannot happen.
All right, we'll see where it goes, man. But yeah, if you're just tuning in, rumors are Harden and the Sixers about to make this deal.
We got plenty more to get to. What a mess. NFL Blitz is on the way. Playoff action this weekend. I'm starting to get more and more excited about these matchups. I really am. Lots of changes, too, on the coaching front. We'll get to all of that and more next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.